thanking our pastor, Brother Chick.
Amen. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 19. The book of Acts, chapter 19. We want to continue our study from the scriptures. What is the title we've been using? Oh, I'm such a great teacher. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, my goodness. What are we talking about? Thank you, brother. Thank you. How many heard that? So what are we studying? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's about right, isn't it? Oh, I love you people. Yeah. Now, I know I read more, but I just want to go back to the to the small verses, and then we'll get going. In verse 19, many of them also used curious arts, brought their books together, and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Isn't that wonderful? The word of God is still powerful today. It will still prevail and it will still grow if we that are God's children will apply it to our lives. Amen. Our Father in heaven, now as we continue our study, Lord, help us to take note and pin it up in our hearts and use it every day. We need your word. We need it to live in us and through us. Through your word, we'll see souls saved. Through your word, we'll see Christians fall in love afresh with you. I pray that you'll defeat Satan tonight and let your name be raised above all names. In Christ's name, amen. The word of God. We saw last week about the gospel method. Through the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, there was persecution. But through that persecution, the gospel went out, did it not? You say, where did it land? Well, it landed in Enid, Oklahoma in 1939 before. Amen? It landed there. It landed in my heart in 1965, 66. Each and every one saved, we can find out where the word of God landed in with us. We know through persecution it exploded. When they persecuted the Christians, they took the word of God with them and folks were saved. We know that they adapted the prayer route. In all things, we pray much. Amen. I can stay here all night. In all things, we pray much. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to say, I don't believe it, but I'm going to say amen just to keep you going. Well, I tell you what, before the end of the night, you better believe it. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Tonight, we want to look at the second major thought. Where does the Holy Spirit fit in with the Word of God? Where does the Holy Spirit fill in with the Word of God? The Holy Spirit was given to us of the Father. He's given to us to uplift the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know you know this verse, but let's turn to the book of John, chapter 14. The book of John, chapter 14. We know Jesus Christ is getting his disciples and those the saints of God ready for him to leave. He's warned him so many times that, hey, I'm going to die on the cross for your miserable sins. Amen. I'm going to take the blood of Satan's forces and I'm going to lay down my life and I will be that sacrifice, that one-time sacrifice that all of mankind can come to the saving knowledge of me to our Father. We know in the book of John chapter 14 and in verse 26, the Bible says this, but the Comforter, Jesus still speaking, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord sent the Holy Ghost as a Comforter. We know that they had no need of the Comforter before that because Jesus was the Comforter. Earlier in that chapter, he says the Father will send you another comforter, amen? He says this comforter can't come until I'm gone. But when he comes, get ready. He's going to teach you. He's going to teach you. He'll bring back to memory those things that I've said unto you. And you're going to be powerful. And you're going to take the gospel and you're going to take it to a lost and dying world. And folks are going to be converted. They're going to be saved. They're going to turn from their wicked ways. As we read in the book of Acts tonight in our jump off, we see that these many people, they were caught up in the occult. They are caught up in the things of the devil and idols. The Bible says they had witchcraft books. And he says they brought them in together and they burned them. He didn't try to resell them. He said, this is of the devil. I don't want anybody else to have part in it. And we're going to burn them. We're going to get rid of them. Amen. There are things in our lives that we hung on to after we got saved that we need to get them out of our lives. We need to burn them up where we can't get back to them again. I told you about Elisha. Elisha, when he said that, when Elijah came to him, he says, you're going to follow me and the Lord's going to use you in a great way. He had the oxen. He had the plow. He had everything. But before he was done that day, Brother Rick, those oxen were sacrificed and the plow was burnt. It was burnt. The ways of the world were no longer going to be an enticement back to him. These people, they said, we don't want anything in our lives that will entice us back to the ways of Satan. Christians, if we're truly saved here today, we shouldn't allow anything to try to entice us back to the ways of the world. We've been saved and delivered from the world, amen? We've been saved to a higher calling, to a higher cause. We therefore ought to follow that way. You know, the Word of God with the Holy Spirit behind it makes sermons irresistible. It's not the preacher that makes sermons irresistible. I've seen God bring people to Jesus in spite of my failures as a preacher. In spite of me getting tongue-tied, amen? Me feeling like, oh, I failed completely. In spite of all of that, I've seen God bring people to himself. It's the Holy Spirit. When you start thinking that you're something and your words of wisdom's going to win somebody to Jesus Christ, I want to tell you something. It's never been about us. It's always been about God. You say, well, I don't know what to say to people. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, amen? I don't know what to tell them. I tell you, you do exactly what Paul did when he first started out. He says, first of all, I just preached to you Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day. What more of a message do you need to a lost and dying world? Amen. Thank you very much. But he makes sermons irresistible. He'll make the hardest people fall before the Word of God. I've seen people, and you have too, that say they're not going to ever have anything to do with God. The next thing you know it, they're on their knees crying like a baby asking God for forgiveness. I've had ladies come and say, preacher, you'll never see my husband saved. And I said, you're exactly right. With an attitude like that, we won't. But if you'll get down on your knees and pray earnestly, believing, and you live a life of good Christianity in front of them, and we'll start bringing to them the Word of God, they will get saved. How do you resist the power of the Holy Spirit? You can't, folks. In the book of John, chapter 16 and verse 7, the Bible says, and I really ought to start reading in verse 1. Okay, you talked me into it. These things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Who in the world do we know that figure that out? Who? Paul, he thought he's doing God's service. But you know, when Jesus said that, he already knew who he was talking about, and he knew how he's going to take care of him. Amen. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. How? Through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He said, and these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. He's talking to him about leaving him. He looks down into the depths and the crevices of our hearts. He says, I know this kind of language is not making you happy. It's filling you full of sorrow. He says, but nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. The Holy Spirit, remember the day before you got saved and the Word of God came to you through messenger of door-to-door visitation or a friend that you worked with or sitting underneath the sound of the gospel of a preacher somewhere. You remember how when the Word of God was preached, how it just raked you over the coals and the fire, how it made you unhappy and unsettled. And man, you was just like an old tomcat in a room full of rocking chairs. You couldn't find peace. How many remember that? I remember when I was lost. Man, I was so miserable I couldn't take it. I was so afraid to walk the aisle. But I want to tell you something. God made me so miserable, I couldn't stand being miserable anymore. That superseded my fear. Amen. He says, and when he come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Who's the prince of this world? That old stinking devil. Amen. Oh, smutty face, Lucifer. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will what? He will guide you into what? All truth. He will guide you into truth, into righteousness, into holiness. You follow the Holy Spirit, you cannot go wrong. It's impossible to go wrong. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. My brothers, sisters in Christ, the Holy Spirit is very much at work today. Now, I know the Pentecostals and these other off-brands of religions, they have made a mocking ridicule out of the Holy Spirit. They say you don't have the Holy Spirit unless you talk in tongues. Tongues was the time for it, but it's not now. They'll go running up and down the aisles. They'll jump pews. Please don't jump our pews. They're old and brittle and they break. They start disrupting services. I'm going to tell you something. That is not of God. The Bible said let everything be done decently and what? And in order. But I tell you this. I do know that when we follow the Holy Spirit, that he'll work mightily in us. Amen? And he'll work through us. The Bible tells us that he, the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, he creates people to melt their hearts and to break their will. He can do that. The Holy Spirit with the Word of God attacks enemies. The Holy Spirit with the work of God can work on governors. It can work on emperors, and it can work on presidents. It can. I hope whoever the next president is, I hope before they get there, they get saved. I'm not saying that just to be funny. I hope somebody will win him to Christ Jesus. Our nation will be blessed if that happens. I know that emperors and governors and hierarchies, they tremble before the gospel. Although I use governors and hierarchies and presidents and emperors and all these things, I want you to know that all people will tremble at the word of God being preached and the Holy Spirit's conviction. I believe in the wooing power of the Holy Spirit because the wooing power of the Holy Spirit made a little old boy leave the third row to hit the altar. You talk to some people about Jesus and it makes them mad. You know what makes them mad? The Word of God and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, they won't get mad until they let Jesus come into their heart. And then they'll get glad and then you won't be able to shut them up. Amen? Oh, He can make the hardest tremble. We have reference of that in the Bible. If you'll turn with me to the book of Acts. And I know you knew I was going to go there. Amen? Acts chapter 24. We need to have a spirit-led life. We need to have a spirit-led life. We need Christians just to quit be called Christians just by name, but we need Christians that will be Christian by action. I tell you, more Christians or so-called Christians have hurt the name of Jesus Christ lately than ever before. People call themselves Christians and go out and hit the taverns and the dance halls and the movie halls and all these other halls. They live like the devil all week. Then they want to try to act like Jesus on Sunday. I want to tell you something. You start acting like Jesus on Sunday and let it carry you through to the next Sunday. Amen? I get so sick and tired of these Mickey Mouse, Yellow Belly people that call themselves Christians. And if they're Christians, they met a different Jesus than I met. I get tired of preachers not standing up and taking a stand against sin. Really? Come on now. One preacher tried in our town, tried to bring in a preacher, and that preacher was ripping and a roaring, and the members of the church got on Facebook, and they said, I thought we was above this stuff. Let me tell you something. If you're a sinner without Jesus Christ, you are a sinner indeed. And you need Jesus to come into your heart and save you. And no, you're not above that. Amen? Bless your little pea-picking heart. When did we get above the fact of we declare the whole counsel of God? Well, if I declare the whole counsel of God, I'll lose half my church. You didn't have a church to begin with. If you can't stand up there and give the word of God in its completeness, I'm telling you something, there needs to be an altar call and people need to be getting on their knees and ask God to forgive them. Well, Brother Chick, we'd have a lot more around here if you quit doing that. I want to tell you something. Look at what we have here tonight. I like what we have here. We have people that have enough moxie to stand up and do right and be right. And God's going to honor that, and He's going to add unto us. Do you believe that? Either God's true or He's not. Is He true? Come on now, is He true? Amen. Amen. We don't build the church man's way, we build it God's way. Did I even read my scripture I was going to read? No, I didn't. Old Paul standing before Felix. Now old Felix married a Jewess. And he had heard about Paul. Who didn't know Paul? He was in the paper every morning. In the daily news. We used to have an eagle, but we don't have an eagle no more. How many remember what the eagle was? What was the eagle? That was the evening paper. Somebody shot that evening paper. Because we don't have an eagle no more. Well, he'd be in there, and so he came before Felix, and Felix wanted to know, hey, you know, this paraphrase now, this is paraphrase. I'm just going to tell you. He stood before Felix, basically told him he needed to get with God and get his sins taken care of. Amen? How many believe that's what people ought to still do today? Amen? Just get old-fashioned saved. Not this new-fashioned stuff, old-fashioned saved. Amen? The real stuff. And so, Drusilla was there in verse 24, and he sent for Paul, and he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. You know what he did? He preached the word of God to him. Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life. The Jews, the Romans, the Gentiles, they killed him. That was a question not too long. Who killed Jesus? I did. It was because of me he died. But I want to tell you something, it's because of you he died too. He had to die that I could be saved. And so Paul began to enlighten him in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit started dealing with Felix's life as the Holy Spirit deals with our lives. And maybe the Holy Spirit's dealing with your life right now and you're so uncomfortable. I want to tell you something. You better be listening to him. It can get ugly real quick. He says, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. Boy, it sounds a lot like what we read over there in John, doesn't it? He's going to come and reprove the world. Amen? Sort of sounds like the message he's putting out there. He says, what happened? Felix what? He trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You say, why was he trembling? Because the word of God was preached and the Holy Spirit was working on his heart. The word of God tells it like it is, and the Holy Spirit drives it home. And it makes a person quake. It makes a person upset and uncomfortable. But I'm telling you this, if it makes us uncomfortable, we need to do something about it. People say, well, I don't want to go to church where I go out feeling terrible. I want to tell you something. I don't want to go to a church that when I'm doing something wrong, I don't go out feeling terrible. That church is not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I go in a good-for-nothing, low-down sinner and come out without anybody challenging me for it, I'm in the wrong place. Now we're going to do it out of love, amen? We're going to love them, but we're going to preach the truth. We've got to. The Bible tells of another gentleman. His name's Crane Agrippa in chapter 26. Now, I'm not going to read all the chapter. When you get home, you do it. In your bedtime studies, right before you go to sleep. But he starts talking to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa, he's a wise man. He understands what's going on. And Saul, he did what Saul does. Oh, Saul Tarsus, oh, Paul. He says, King Agrippa, let me tell you a story. And he told him the story how he's on the way to Damascus and he had in his hands orders to grab Christians. He said, next thing you know it, God stopped me in the middle of my tracks. Oh, Paul, boy, Katrina, he was a bad boy. All in the name of service to the God. Didn't we read that tonight? They'll persecute you and think they're doing God a service. All in the service of God, he was coming down on these people. And I know he's feeling good about it. But God stopped him on the way to Damascus. And he had a little one-on-one with him. Now, there's one or two things you're going to do when God starts having a little one-on-one. Either you're going to forsake your way and go to him, or you're going to forsake him and go your way. Brother Nick, this wasn't, well, you know, God, I thank you, but let me time to pray about it and think on it. No, no, no. It's a yes or no answer. Like I said this morning, if you say, well, let me wait till next time, you're saying no to God. Well, not really. No, you are. With God, it's yes or no. Well, I don't know whether I need to serve him right now or start next month. No, no, no. You know, we start serving him right now. I mean, if the Lord's working on your heart, I don't think you have to wait until invitation time to hit the altar and get right. You're not going to upset this preacher. He can preach over that. Amen. You get right with God, go back to the pew and enjoy the rest of the service. Amen. Well, I would never. That's the problem. We got too many people nevers. Amen. When I was a little boy, people would come in and they were smokers and they were trying to get rid of their cigarettes. I remember that over here in this old chapel over here was our sanctuary. That people would come in with their cigarettes and they'd throw their cigarettes on that altar and say, God, I give them up. It's got to be you that helps me. They brought cigarettes down to the altar and left them. What better place to leave them? Huh? Man, you take your nasty sins of the world and leave them there, don't you? I do. He said, what did they do when they get back up? Pick them up? They left them there. What did you do with them? Got a trash can and threw them away. Amen? Amen. We have all these little aids, these pills and these shots and these meditations. All this stuff's supposed to help. How about trying God out? Isn't He greater than any problem you have? Sinuses, I hate them. No, I like sinuses. I just don't like sinus trouble. Let me clarify that. I'm up here drowning. Here's what he said. In this verse 20, he says, but I told them, but first of them unto Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do the meat and do works meet for repentance. I tell you, his message was strong. It was the word of God. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit would take it from there and put it into the hearts of mankind. My brothers and sisters in Christ, when there's salvation, then there's a show that you're saved. Have you ever seen this new religion they've got going on? You get saved and then just act like you always acted. Have you seen this today? Yeah, you have. People come down to the altar and they wail and they cry and they get upset. Well, praise God, I'm saved. But their salvation don't even bring them back to church on Sunday night. Their salvation doesn't bring them to Tuesday night visitation or Wednesday night visitation. Their salvation doesn't get them out of the bars. Their salvation doesn't take the dirty magazines and throw them out the window. No, don't throw them out the window. Your neighbor will go pick him up. But you know what I'm saying. Boy, when you're truly saved, your life starts showing you're saved. You say, well, you're just wanting to make me a goody two-shoes. No, I think we ought to just start being Christians. Amen. The mouth got cleaned up. Every now and then I run to a gentleman in town, and he's a self-proclaimed Christian. And that guy can't say two sentences without using cursing. I'm telling you what, when you get saved, your mouth gets cleaned up. Our works will testify that we belong to Jesus Christ. You know how we know Paul got saved, gloriously saved? How do we know it? It changed his life. He started living for him. He didn't work for his salvation, but he worked because of his salvation. Man, if he had that song, he would be singing, I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. He lived it. He just didn't talk about it. My brothers and sisters in Christ, when we let Jesus come into our heart, we'll live for Jesus. People will see our good works according to the Matthew chapter 5. They'll see the light shining out of us and they'll glorify not you, the Bible says, but they'll glorify the Father that's in heaven. A lot of you here tonight are here because somebody else in the church invited you. Now, you love them for what they did, but more than anything, you glorify God for what he did to you. Amen? So that scripture's true. He goes ahead and says in verse 27, he continues to talk. Verse 25, he tells Festus, I'm not a mad person. He says, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. He says in verse 26, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. He said, we haven't lived our life in a corner. We've lived it openly as a testimony in front of people. When I grew up, I heard so often, sometimes our life is the only Bible somebody will ever read. What are you doing? Giving them the NIV version? Or whatever other versions out there. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? But when you start talking to a king like that, you have freedom, amen? I know that thou believest. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What got Agrippa to the point where he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? I'll tell you why, since you asked. Amber, it was the Word of God being preached and the Holy Spirit coming down and planting it in his old heart. He started feeling the wooing power of the Holy Spirit saying, King Agrippa, now's the day to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Don't put it off any longer, King Agrippa. What was Paul's answer? A lot of time when we're winning people to the Lord or trying to win them to the Lord, we'll get to the point where you say, don't you want Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Don't you want him to take away your sin? Don't you want eternal life in heaven? The devil will slip in and put in their heart, well, I'd like to think about it a little bit. You know what a lot of Christians do? They say, okay, you think about it. The devil won. Paul didn't sit with that. That didn't sit well with him, Brother Kelly. He didn't say, okay, King, whatever. You think about it for a little. Now, you give me a call if you ever. I tell you what, the devil, he tries to steal the seed. He tries to steal the power of God. I'll tell you what Paul did. He took it back at him. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also that they hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. He said, I want to tell you something, King Agrippa. I want you to know today, I wish you were just like I am today. And not only you, King Agrippa, but everybody that's around me listening to my message I have of the Lord. He says, I wish you guys would take it to heart and let Jesus come in just like I have, except for one point. He says, except for these bonds. What was he talking about? He was incarcerated. Why? For the preaching of the gospel. That old king needed what Paul had. Those people listening, old Festus and the rest of them listening, needed what Paul had. I want to tell you something, church, tonight. The people we come in contact with need what we have. They're not going to be happy or satisfied, have any success at all until they get what we've got. What do we have? What is it that you have? Come on now, what is it that you have?
you have Jesus in your heart.
Do you? Come on now. Do you have Jesus in your heart? Do you believe? Do you believe that people need what you have in your life? Let me ask you something, Christians. Are you conducting your life? Are you living a life that people can look at it and even want Jesus as your Savior? Are they using you as an excuse, a stumbling block, if you please, why they haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Savior? That's a bad thing to have happen. Holy Spirit, He will guide us to the path of righteousness. This early church and these early preachers, they were completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit for their success. I want to tell you something. We're totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit's work for our success here at Bible Baptist Church. When the Word of God goes out, I pray that the Word of God touches their life. Not me, because I'm the worst excuse for English there ever was. But the Word of God is still pure, and the Word of God is what convicts with the Holy Spirit. Amen? If you get saved, you're saved because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Without conviction, there's no salvation. Those people say, well, I'll get saved when I want to get saved. That's another lie from Satan. You get saved when the Holy Spirit convicts you. I told you the story of a gentleman that his son called and says, get up to dad. He's on the point of death and he's now ready. He's now ready to talk to somebody about getting saved. My dad called me and asked, where are you at? And I said, I'm out here on Owen K. Garrett. He says, get to Bass. There's a guy dying and he wants to get saved. And boy, I went up there and I went into the room. I said, my name is Terry Chick, and so-and-so called our church and said that such-and-such is ready to let Jesus come into her heart. And I tell you, that sister tore into me. How dare you say my daddy needs to get saved? He's already saved. I said, man, my business is not with you. My business is with this gentleman. And I was told by your brother, you go take it up with your brother. Amen. I don't need the devil around me when I'm trying to do something that needs to be done. You calling that girl a devil? No, I'm not. But I'm going to tell you, the devil was using her. That mother says, call her name out. You get out of this room right now. You get out of this room right now. I thought, bless mama. Got that young lady out of the room. I said, ma'am, I'm here. She says, he's gone into a coma. I said, can he? No. About 5 minutes ago, he went into a coma. She started crying. She said, he has refused God, and he's refused God, and he's refused God. Now, something I know about comas. I don't know whether or not they can hear me, but I'm going to tell you something. If they can, I'm going to do some talking. Amen? When you go into the hospital and someone's in a coma, don't sit there and be an old negative something or other. You let them know, I love you. Amen? Till they take the last breath, you don't know what they can hear. And I presented the Word of God to that person in a coma. I don't know whether they heard me or not. That's not for me to know, I guess. I presented the Word of God. I said, when he comes out, I don't care what time of day or night, you give me a call and I'm running up here. I said, I might be in work clothes, I might be in a suit, I don't know, but I'm coming up here. He never came out of a coma. Oh, but I'll get saved when I get good and ready. No, you get saved when the Holy Spirit convicts your heart. And when he's convicting your heart, whether you be lost or saved, you better give heed to he, the Holy Spirit. He's God. He doesn't mess around. put God on these little smaller pedestals than what they should be. There's a song that they teach the kids. God is my Father, Jesus is my brother, and the blessed Holy Spirit, He's my God. Jesus isn't my brother. He's my Savior. And because of scriptural baptism, He's my groom. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, the Lord's business is the Lord's business, and it's serious. And as serious as you try to be with your own businesses, we better start getting busy about God's business. Amen. We're saved to serve. We're saved to serve. Question, have we forgotten how God succeeds in His church? When people come into the house of the Lord, do they go away better or do they go away the same? If the Word of God's being preached and the Holy Spirit's doing His work, they ought to go away better. I say this so often about people. They say, well, I believe in God, but I don't want to get saved. I say this so often, please don't tire of it. If they truly believe God, in God, they're going to get saved. And they're not going to procrastinate. Amen. Folks, it's one thing, and I'm going to close with this. It's one thing to leave off an ugly deed or thought or something else. And it's quite another thing to be converted. I think about an example in the Bible where this guy full of demons, the demon went out and he swept and garnished his house, his body, cleaned it up. The house was empty. And when the spirit came back, the unclean spirit came back, he found the house swept and garnished. The demon went out, got seven more worse than himself, and the Bible says the end result of the man was worse than the beginning. You know what that tells me? Brother Jerry, you can do all the cleaning you want. You can do all the emptying you want, but if you don't fill it back up with godly stuff, you're in a world of hurt. And I tell you, the only way you're going to fill it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember the scripture? What? Know ye not that your bodies are what? The temple of who? Who? Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit truly lives in us, then we're going to follow His leadership. And His footsteps are going to take us where we need to go. It's going to snow again one of these days. I know it is. When I was little, I'm going to quit. I said that five times now. When I was little, Dad or somebody else, Mom, would walk through the snow. And what I would do is I'd try to step in the same prints that they stepped in. How many's ever done that? Why? Because you wanted to be like who you was following. Amen? That's what it ended up being. How come as God's children, we find it so hard to desire to walk in the footsteps of He, the Holy Spirit, when we know it's going to be an easier path? Our Father in heaven, we love You and thank You for Your Word. We know it's eternal and it's persistent and it's always going to prevail. We thank You for the Comforter, He, the Holy Spirit, who guides us. We thank You for His work of conviction to the lost, but also to the saved. You know my desire, Lord, and You know this church's desire is to get fired up for You. To have a love for You, a burning love, a love that causes us to do great things in Your name. We have a city that's lost, that needs Jesus. Lord, use us. Let us be Your hands and Your feet and Your voice. Bless our efforts. Prepare the hearts of those we're going to visit with. Lord, when people get saved, I pray they'll truly get saved. It won't be just a head knowledge thing, but Lord, it will be a heart knowledge thing. I pray that we'll love you and serve you in one accord, in one mind, in one effort. Lord, help me to be what I should be. Add unto this church those who will labor with us. I pray that your name will always be raised high. Help us to be known for preaching the word of God. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.